Blog Talk Radio.
Once again to my friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. This is the 22nd edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And today's message is number 4 in the Rapture Readiness Review Series. We're looking at Psalm 23, verse 4. And the title of this message is, Let's Learn How and Why to Smile at Death. Yes, you heard that right, friends. Smile at death. You know, Psalm 23, verse 4 says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, this is a subject that we all have to deal with, but few of us even want to talk about it, and that subject is our death. You know, it's an undeniable fact for each and every one of us, except for that one generation who on the day of Christ, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, our Lord, in the air. Isn't that glorious how Paul put that? Friends, I truly believe we are that generation. But nevertheless, we have to be prepared for our death. You know, because each and every one of us, regardless of whether or not we are that generation, we are literally living on the edge of eternity. So this is going to be both a comforting and an informative study. Let's learn how to fear no evil as the one who rose from the dead, our shepherd, walks beside us. You know, Psalm 23, verse 4, I'm going to read it again. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, this is perhaps the most quoted verse in all the Bible, and yet few people can smile at death. So let's learn how to stare death in the face and boldly ask, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You know, man's the only creature who knows he's going to die. Yet we all try to avoid it by thinking about other things. And what when we do that, what are we really doing? Aren't we putting up vain imaginations and strongholds between us and true knowledge of God? You know, we just don't like the idea of dying. And we ought to be asking ourselves, well, why? You know, since death is a very real fact of life, just like that old cliche about death and taxes goes, then we ought to learn how not to fear it, wouldn't you agree? In fact, we ought to understand it and we ought to anticipate it. You know, David had this thought in mind when he wrote Psalm 23, especially verse 4. He spoke of the valley he called the shadow of death. David actually knew of such a valley in the Middle East, in his native land. It was called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And what's so exciting is that David learned how to smile at death as he trusted God and his word and was able to boldly declare saving faith. And you know what I call saving faith? F-A-I-T-H, which is being able to say, forsaking all, I trust him. King David was able to do that. You know, he did that by embracing the three truths we're going to cover in this study that are found in the unchanging, immutable word of God. And if we do the same thing, we too will be able to ask with a bold confidence exactly what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 15, verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Now, the first truth is that we must accept death as a decided fact. And then in this part of the study, I'm going to point out three other points to amplify the fact that we must accept the fact of our death. First, it's stubborn, it's uncertainty, and it's personal. It's very personal. So, yes, death is a fact. Now, notice how David began this verse. He did just that. He acknowledged death as a fact. And how do I know that? Because of how he opened this particular verse. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So he accepted the stubborn fact of his impending death. Most people don't want to face that, though. In fact, we have a very difficult time even perhaps listening to this message. But let's look at what the Bible says about death. In Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die. We just have to do this once, friends. But after that, the judgment. And in Romans 5:12, wherefore, as one man, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. We all have to die, friends, for that all have sinned. Now, like I mentioned, there's only one exception to this fact, and that is if the rapture occurs before you die, and you are rapture ready. You know, that's why I'm doing this message series, friends. We all have to be rapture ready, regardless of whether the rapture comes first or our death comes first. We must be prepared like those five wise virgins with our wicks trimmed and our vessels full of extra Holy Spirit oil, anxiously awaiting the return of our beloved bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus does not come first, or you are not prepared, then you, as I, will surely die. Friends, that's the plain, stubborn fact on the matter. Secondly, we have to accept this as an uncertain fact. And what I mean by that is, not only is it a stubborn fact that we can't deny, it's an uncertain fact. And by that I mean we don't know when it's going to happen. Notice what David said, although I walk through the valley, he was expressing the fact that he didn't know from moment to moment what his life might bring. Look what David said in 1 Samuel 20, verse 3. And David sware moreover and said, thy father, and he was talking to Jonathan here about King Saul, Jonathan's dad. Surely thy father knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. That's Jonathan's eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, and here's the truth and the key, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, There is but a step between me and death. Folks, that's true for all of us. There's but a step between you and me and death. We don't know when. That's the uncertainty. Sure, old men die, but so do toddlers, suddenly and unexpectedly. That's why we are literally walking on the edge of eternity, and that's why this message is so important, regardless of when Jesus comes back for his church. You know, I deliver this message to you as a dying man, and you are listening to this message as a dying man or a woman. Do you realize that? That's in the sense of our fleshly habitation right now. But in the spirit, we ought to be alive, and we ought to grow more strong and strong every day in our hope and in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, you know, in the physical, carnal sense of this world, this may be the last message I ever have the privilege to deliver to you. The truth is, I just simply don't know when the Lord may call me home. That's why I say we always must be rapture ready. Always. It's so much more hopeful than saying we must be prepared for our untimely demise or simply put our death. Wouldn't you agree? By the end of this message, I want you to hope. I want you to hope in that blessed and holy hope, the chief shepherd, either in the prospect of him calling us up in the great rescue mission or meeting you to cross the cold waters of the river Jordan with you. So it's all summed up in these verses in James 4, 13 through 15. Go to, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there for a year to buy and sell and to get again. Whereas ye know not what shall be brought tomorrow. For what is your life? Is it even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away? For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, then we shall do this or that. Do you see the point here? The point is that God doesn't have to take your life from you. All he has to do is stop giving it to you. Understand that, friends, and you're on your way to being rapture ready, because when you finally grasp that point, you're ready to embrace the truth that Christ is truly your all in all, as Paul said in Colossians 3:11. Life is a gift from God, and it is his mercies, by his mercies alone, that we are not consumed this very moment. Our life truly is like a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. And then finally, we have to accept our death as a personal fact. Notice David wrote, though I walk. He didn't say, though they walk or you walk. He said, I walk. And friends, you and I both walk like David does through the valley of the shadow of death. We're walking through that same valley, friends, just like David did. We're doing that this very moment. We just try to ignore it. You know, we try to ignore that very stubborn, uncertain, and personal fact. Our mind just doesn't desire to think on that, to dwell on that. We also like to think about it in terms of another's death. But friends, you may die at this moment, just as I may. Are you thinking about that? Are you thinking about that? Or are you saying, well, that doesn't apply to me. I'm fairly young. I'm pretty healthy. I work out every day. You know, I'm in shape. You may not be as healthy as you think you are. And you know why I say that? Because auto accidents make healthy people very unhealthy and very dead very fast. We all are literally walking on the very edge of eternity. So the first step in being able to smile at death is to be able to say, I must face this, you know? And when you can do that, you're on your first step towards rapture readiness with regard to your personal mortality. Secondly, acknowledge death as a defeated foe. Yes, I said death is defeated. And we must understand that there's no valley without mountains, no shadow without light, and no evil without a greater good. So I'm going to get into these three points now. Look again at Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, so we acknowledge death as a defeated foe because of these three powerful truths in this verse. Now, here they are. First of all, there can be no valley with mountains. Now, what are these mountains? Now, David talks of a valley, but you can't have a valley without mountains. And what are the mountains in this spiritual context? Well, they're found in Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. I mentioned this in one of the earlier studies. In Psalm 22 is the beautiful Mount Calvary, dealing with the crucifixion of our Messiah. And then in Psalm 24, on the other side of this valley, found in Psalm 23. We have Mount Zion, and it deals with the second coming of our great shepherd, our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose name is wonderful and who is King of kings and Lord of lords. Wow, isn't that awesome? Isn't that so exciting? So here we are in this valley between these two most awesome mountains of all history, his story. The crucifixion and the coronation of the good, great, and chief shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that from our earlier studies, okay? It's just so exciting. The good shepherd of Psalm 22 died for us, freeing us from the penalty of our sins and reconciling us with our God. Look at Romans 5, verse 10. Read the first part of it. That's called our justification, okay? That means God can. Now, the great shepherd in Psalm 23, he lives in us, freeing us from the power of sin and giving us the power of resurrection living. Read the last part of Romans 5:10. That's called our sanctification, and that means that God does. And soon, very soon, the chief shepherd of Psalm 24 is returning for those of us who are rapture ready, freeing us from the very presence of sin forever, taking us back to our first estate with God. Look at Colossians 1:27. That's called our glorification, and that means God always. Praise Jesus. Isn't that exciting? That just brings tears to my eyes, friends. And finally, not finally, secondly in this point, there can be no shadow without light. Notice that David says he walks through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, death is just like that. It's a shadow for us in Christ. Think about that. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, death is but a shadow because he is the light. Jesus is the one who took the sting from death and the gloom from the grave. Jesus took the dread out of dying, friends, and he has given us hope that is a steadfast and sure hope. It's a rock-ribbed hope that we can stand on in the midst of any fiery trial, in the midst of any gloom or doom. Sure, there's a shadow that might frighten us, but a shadow can't harm you, friends. That's the point. A shadow is without substance, and death has no substance for those abiding in Jesus Christ as a branch abides in the vine. Look at Isaiah 9:2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. That's Jesus. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light, that's Jesus again, has shined. That light shined. That's Jesus. Praise his name. Friends, we never have to care about that shadow because where there's a shadow, there's light. That's the point. Look to Jesus, who is the light, and I'll promise you this one point. I'll promise you this. That shadow will end up falling behind you if you're looking towards the light. And then you'll realize you're never walking alone. So remember, there is no valley without mountains and no shadow without light. And finally, there's no evil without a greater good. This is the third crucial point in this second point. Okay? So there's 3 points in this message. And within each of these points, there's 3 sub-points. And I'm going to sum it all up at the end, so don't worry. Don't worry. And this third crucial point of this second point is we must grasp to see death as a defeated foe that it truly is. We must grasp that. And that's in the second part of Psalm 23, verse 4. Okay? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Here David's comparing evil, the evil of death, to the good and great and chief shepherd. Remember who he's walking with. This is the Lord. That's Jehovah, the Most High God, the King of kings and the Lord of all lords. That's our Jesus. Remember in the New Testament, Jehovah is the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the New Testament word for Joshua. And Jesus and Joshua mean Jehovah saves. Did you know Joshua wasn't always named Joshua? You know, his name was Hoshea, which means salvation. And when Moses knew that he had to pass the mantle on, he told Hoshea that he was going to give him a new name. So Moses took the name Hoshea, and he made the name God. He made this name focus on God, I should say. So what he did is he took the name for God, Jehovah, and he put it together to get Joshua. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that awesome? So David is saying, there may be evil, but Jehovah walks with me. And there's no greater good than Jehovah. So what evil can stand up against the Most High God, Jehovah? Think about that. Truth is greater than error, and grace is mightier than sin. And our sovereign God, Jesus, is mightier than Satan. Therefore, life is greater than death. So we must understand that. Friends, just saturate your soul with that truth. Just soak your very being in that truth. You know, life, and then when we live a life in and for Christ, Jesus Christ, when we live a life in and for Jesus Christ, it is greater, far greater than anything death can scare us with. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, and that's Jehovah, art with me. And finally, the third point in this message, we're to see death as a delightful friend. Yeah, you heard me right, friends. We're to see death as a delightful friend. Now, you may be pulling back on that and saying, no, death's not a friend. But I'm going to tell you why. Because of the presence, power, and purpose of the shepherd. And I know this notion might be a little bit appalling right now, calling death a friend. But stick with me here, and you'll see my point. I promise you, if you do, it'll bless you. So please, just stay with me, and it'll help you get rapture ready. So in a sense, we can call death a delightful friend. And here's what I mean. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 22, and here's Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Did you catch that last part? Did you catch that? All are yours. That means death is ours. Death belongs to us. It's our possession. Here Paul is no longer thinking of death as an enemy, but as a tool or as a servant for those of us in Christ. So how can death help us? Look at Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So death can be treasured as a possession if we keep it all in perspective. And that's the key, perspective. We have to keep our sights focused on the light. The light is Jesus Christ. And then that shadow of death will be behind us. So you see how this works? We do that by making Jesus Christ our all in all and remembering we never, ever, ever walk alone. Ever. Look what else Paul said in Philippians 1:21. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Did you get that? To die is gain. How so? Over in Colossians 1:26, chapter 1, verse 26 through 27, and I alluded to this earlier in the message. Even the mystery, which has been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, that's us, friends, to whom God would make known, that's us again, friends, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Friends, God dwells in us when we make these vessels pure and set apart and no longer full of carnality. And what is that? The hope of glory. So what's that mean? Physically, it's telling us how dying is gain because we're going to be made like the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We're going to reflect his glory, friends. That is awesome. Now, intellectually, it's also gain because then I'll know that I'm known by God himself because I will dwell in his presence forever and I will rule and reign with him. Emotionally, it's also gain because finally I'll be able to praise God with all of my heart, with nothing standing between me and knowledge of God. Socially, it's also gain because for the first time, I'll be with all the saints of all the ages, face to face with our Most High God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, this is awesome. And spiritually, it's also gain because all temptation and all sin will finally be left behind me, and I'll be one with my Lord as I could never have imagined before. So this brings me back to where I said I see death as a delightful friend. Now do you see why I said that? Now do you get the point? Friends, death isn't my enemy any longer if it brings me to this place where I'm in the very presence of the Most High God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So for me, I may truly say to live is Christ and to die is gain, and mean it. Because, and there's three of those subpoints coming up now. First, the presence of the shepherd, like David said, for thou, that's Jehovah, art with me. Did you notice that until this point in the psalm, David had been talking about the Lord. Now he's talking to the Lord. Now he's in the valley and he's talking to the Lord. Nothing brings us face to face with the Lord faster than the dark valleys of our lives, friends. That's when we know that we know what he meant when he said in Hebrews 13, verse 5, the last part of it, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And over in Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The good, the great. The chief shepherd is present with us always. He walks with us. We never, ever have to walk alone if we abide in Jesus, like that vine abides, like that branch abides in the vine. You know, all we have to do is surrender to him, depend upon him, rest in him, obey him, and we will have his joy in us through the darkest of times. Remember, this is Jehovah, and the ultimate is our intimate. Stop and let that sink in. The ultimate is our intimate. Friends, we don't have to cross the cold waters of the Jordan alone. We don't die alone. Our Lord Jesus will be there with us. He is the light. So keep your eyes fixed on the light, which is Jesus Christ. So we have this presence of the shepherd, but we also have the power of the shepherd in our lives. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Remember from last week's message, we learned how the rod was primarily used to protect the sheep and the shepherd, and the staff was used to lift the sheep. So when we die, the Lord will be with us. He strengthens us. That's what's meant in Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Friends, he'll be there, his rod protecting us from all and any evil. And his staff will be there to guide us and to draw us close through the valley. So we may be able to sing praises of joy as our feet touch the cold and chilly waters of death. And then finally, there's the purpose of the shepherd. His purpose is to bring us through this valley, to help guide us home, friends. Remember, we have trouble for but a season. Its purpose is to draw us closer to him. Remember, he is the good, the great, and the chief shepherd. And he would never lead us anywhere unless where he's leading us is to a better place. I love this hymn written by Fanny Crosby. It's titled, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. And it sums it all up. I'm going to read the first stanza to you. It says, All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort. Hear my faith in him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. Wow! You know, I hear those lyrics and they bring tears to my eyes. They minister to me. Cling to that truth, friends. The devil keeps people in bondage through the fear of death. That's how this whole world controls us. We're controlled by the fear of death. And I'm going to tell you a truth. And I'm going to end this message with this truth, friends. And if you look at Hebrews 2:15, you'll see that what I just said about the bondage that the fear of death keeps people in. It says, and to deliver them through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So the fear of death is bondage. And it's so crucial to understand that. And why? Because we're not truly ready to live and serve our Most High God until we are no longer afraid to die. So if you're afraid to die, maybe because of your sins or because you don't know what's on the other side, I'm going to tell you this, repent and then trust Jesus. Because like it said in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned, every one, to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And then trust Jesus and obey Jesus. That's how you get rapture ready, friends. That's how you will no longer fear death and be able to smile at death and say, Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Friends, I love you all. And I'm so excited about some of the messages I'm getting back from you. And I just want to say, have a great day. Knowing, serving, and loving Jesus. And I want you to remember these two things. So stay tuned. There's two things coming up here. And these things will apply in your life if you trust and obey. Here's the first one. Thank you. isn't that beautiful? You will never walk alone if you abide in Jesus Christ. Friends, that's the first point to remember. As you go out knowing, serving, and loving Jesus, you will never walk alone. And then I'm going to wrap this up. I just want to let you all know how much I love you. And I want to share this with you. This is going to be Pastor Lee McDermott reading Psalm 23 in its entirety, all six verses. He's going to comment on it for a couple minutes, and then he's going to play guitar, and he's going to sing Fanny Crosby's All the Way My Savior Leads Me. So just remember these two things. You never walk alone, and All the Way My Savior Leads Me. And I'm going to tell you, you've conquered the fear of death, and now you're ready to live for Jesus Christ. I love y'all. Have a great week serving the King.
I wanted to just share with you guys Psalm 23, very, very familiar passage of Scripture. And it basically goes like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul and leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We do not serve a God who's too weak to provide for us. We do not serve a God who's too weak to save, who is too weak to do anything. And here we see in this psalm that he provides rest and refreshment and fulfillment and vindication and anything else we can possibly need to fully fit our design and to be full of joy. God can provide it. So why wouldn't we want to submit to his leadership? Whenever I try to lead, I start building on sand. And we all know what happens when you build on sand. As the storm comes, washes it all away. He is the rock. When we build on him, when we come under his authority, we come under his leadership, we find ourselves the recipient of the fulfillment of this promise. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a promise that you can bank on. Unshakable. Absolutely. Built on the rock. A lot of times we can feel like God's holding out on us because we see everything that we might be praying for given to other people. But the bottom line is we do not serve a God who's holding out on us. He's not holding out on you. He is holding you. And so that means, why wouldn't you want to submit to his authority, to his leadership? Everything that he brings into your life is for his glory and for your good. He is leading us. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray together. Father God, you are such a glorious God. May your name be exalted above every other name across all over the earth right now. And in this house, God, may no other God have sway in any heart except for you. Thank you so much, God. You're so good to us. We give back to you now out of the abundance and the riches and the provision that you have so graciously given us. In Jesus' name.
All the way my Savior leads me. Who have I to ask aside? Could I doubt his tender mercy? Through life has been my guide, through all the way my Savior leads me. He cheers each winding path I tread. He gives me grace for every trial. He feeds me with living bread. You lead me. You keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart. And surely your goodness and mercy will follow. All the way my Savior leads. fullness of His love. Oh, the sureness of His promise. In the triumph of His love. When my spirit clothed in mortal wings its flight to realms of day. This my soul through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. You lead me and keep me from falling.